In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to Comic Culture. The radio show, the champions of local comic book shop, we're broadcasting at 93.3. CFMU FM McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com, if it is indeed called getthepointradio.com.
Your name?
Oh, I am. Please, I state your name. Walter Duralia, Overstreet's Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. And to my left is young Shecky Feldstein, producer extraordinaire. And to my right, we have the young buck, Andrew Roebuck, doing the engineering thing for us this afternoon.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, not too much, guys.
Hello. Good.
Hello.
Listen, braving the cold weather out there.
Yeah, listen, this kind of a happy day and a sad day. For all of us,
happy and sad.
Hey, this is the last appearance of Slurpy Jones.
Oh,
Slurpy Jones is retiring after tonight.
Okay,
and
you know, it's bittersweet.
Is it time?
It's probably time though. It is bittersweet though.
You know, Slurpy Jones has worn out his welcome on Comic Culture.
Are you sure Slurpy might be not making a comeback in like a couple weeks or something? just you never know.
No, I'm pretty sure Slurpy's done.
All right.
Slurpy has slurped his last slurp.
All right. Well, that's okay. You know what, Walt? Slurpee was a welcome addition to the show, and he's welcome to come back anytime he needs to.
Fair enough. Thanks, guys.
We'll have to be sure to make this one extra special then.
Yes, that's right.
Let's do it. Let's go out with a slurp.
Go out with a slurp. All right, listen. We are here to talk about comic books every week. You know, lots of great stuff going on in the comic book industry. So I think we should just get right down to it. Shecky, do we have any sponsors for this week?
Absolutely. And so for new this week, brought to you by Old Man Winter. Who else can make you snot popsicles for free?
Hey, that is very true.
Yo, guys, it's flipping cold.
It is cold.
It is colder than cold up here in Canada.
Yeah.
Southern Ontario, to be
Southern
exact.
Southern Ontario in the Hamilton area.
In the Hamilton area.
Yeah, you know, yesterday was, you're looking at almost minus 20, like something like minus 27 with the wind chill. So,
guys,
know,
I can barely slurp yesterday.
I know.
That's
I know.
How cold it was. I was cold.
Barely slurping. Wasn't that the title of your last album?
I was slushing, not slurping.
That was your last album title. Let's talk about new comics. Let me say listen one more time.
Listen.
I am going completely off the rails here, and I'm going to talk about a Marvel comic, but it's not really your average Marvel comic. And this is, of course, none other than George A. Romero's Empire of the Dead, number one, illustrated by Alex Maleev. This is awesome.
What? Rick Romero did what?
So, you, of all people, Mr. Shecky Feldstein, you are the producer extraordinaire of Night of the Living Dead Live.
All hobnobbing with
all
Mr.
Hobnobbing
Romero.
With Romero.
A couple months ago, they're all snuggling up to each other, drinking high-end scotch.
Yeah, and now we've got George A. Romero's new comic book writing a comic book of Empire of the Dead.
Yeah, because when you showed that to us, Chris, earlier, and Shecky goes...
Shecky...
Huh? He did what?
He did what now? What? Where in the what? Well,
how come I don't know?
Yeah, I was hoping he would take me with him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He'd draw me in, maybe.
Maybe you are in here somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. Wait, are you zombie number four that gets
now,
shot in the head?
Now, Alex Maleev, of course, that's of Daredevil fame and you know, Marvel artist kind
extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire. Yeah. So how was it, Chris? Does it look good?
It's awesome. Yeah? It's awesome. Great book. Really.
Now, what would it be like? Would it be like your standard zombie fare? Is it like a Walking Dead?
Yes, and yeah. I'd say it's kind of like, you know what? I know he's not a big fan of Walking Dead, but I would say it's kind of like that in the sense that, you know, there's good character development before a whole lot of zombies actually start, you know, doing anything, right? There's some good character development. Because really, a zombie book is great and all, but you really need to have people to latch on to that you're going to care about throughout a book, throughout any story, really.
Sure.
You need to have the human condition going on. So, like every great George A. Romero story, there's lots of great zombies and lots of great characters and everything in it. So, you know what? I highly recommend it. Alex Maleev, interesting take. He decided to go on a different kind of look for this book than he did on his Daredevil book.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a little more
sunny,
scratchy. Yeah,
but you can't get much more scratchy than Mr. Maleev.
He's done a few extra things. It's hard to describe his shading and things like that is a little bit different from his normal outings.
Right.
It's just a little bit darker, which I guess it's going to need to be for a zombie book, right?
Mm, fair enough.
So I like it though. Don't get me wrong, I do like it.
All right, good. This is Empire of the Dead.
Yeah, you know,
number one.
Now, I'm interested. It'll be interesting to know if this is going to be a book that people should be speculating on,
like The Walking Dead.
Well, it's if you look at Walking Dead. Okay, look at Walking Dead, and the success of that. Look at the success of George A. Romero's films. Why wouldn't
we got lots to say about that.
But, you know,
we won't go there.
But really, he has had a lot of success.
Yeah.
He's the unsung creator
40 years ago.
He still does zombie movies.
Fair enough.
You know, Dawn of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead and
Dead.
To be fair, Dawn of the Dead was from the 70s that he did. The new one wasn't him.
Oh, no, so, I know. But
I understand what you're saying. He has been making, but since 2000, he's kind of been making as many zombie flicks as possible, and at the cheapest dollar. And
but he still has a following.
Yeah, and at least he still keeps writing all his own material. All his own material. He is as devoted to the zombie cause as anyone ever could be.
Yeah,
and you know he is a very. I've read some of his work. You know, don't tell anyone that, but we'll keep that on the hush hush. You know, he's a very talented writer, and it's a story, and it's just you hope that the illustrations do justice to the story.
Yes.
You know, and so in that case, this will have longevity, and because it has to be entertaining to look at too, not just to read the character profiles, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, who knows? Maybe it will be something that blows up.
Well, you never know, right?
You never know. Hey, listen, though. Everybody listening can run into their local con. Don't walk.
Run.
What do zombies do? They don't walk. They run.
Stagger.
Stagger into your local comic shop and pick up Dawn of the Dead #1.
Yeah, so if it's a day after drinking heavy at the bar, then you stagger in.
Okay, listen, guys. Yeah. That's the second time I segued out of this goddamn book, and I'll do it again. Dawn of the Dead #1.
Done.
Comic shop.
All right, perfect. Listen, we're going to move on to Harley Quinn by DC Comics. This is Harley Quinn #2. Great book so far. I don't know if you guys have been reading any of the Harley Quinn stuff.
Nah.
Awesome book. I love it. You know, it's written by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti. It's drawn by Chad Harden and Stefan Rue. I really like the way they go with this book. They really decided to make this a little bit more of a comedic thing. Not quite on the same level as Deadpool, but it's kind of a fun take on the character. And really, that's the only way I think you can take a character like Harley Quinn is have fun with it. Even the cover is awesome. The cover is, of course, by Amanda Connor, and it's got all these really cute puppies and kittens and everything, and they're all covered in. They all look like they've been eating something because they all have like blood on their mouths.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice and cute.
Wow. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think a couple even have little charms around their bracelet, around their necks that have like guns and things like that.
Because I'm tasked at the comic shop.
Yes.
I'm tasked with. They give, teach the Communist Manifesto, by the way.
Well, okay.
This
ought to be big. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
From each according to his ability.
Right.
And to each according to his need.
Right.
Well, the people at Big B, they use the Communist Manifesto because they use me every week to shelve comic books.
Right.
So,
yes.
Anyway, I went and had a flipping pile of Harley Quinns. It's like 100 deep.
Yeah.
I'm I'm sure our shop isn't the only one that ordered Heavy on Hard.
Number one
was a huge hit.
Yes.
And there's a lot of fans of Harley Quinn.
There is. And I'm one of them. I think it's a great character. I love what they've done with her. I think she's fun. It's interesting. It's different. And like you said, there's a lot more of me out there. Wait, yeah. that probably
there's a lot of you out there.
Probably didn't come up very well. But
what websites are we talking about, Chris?
Hey, listen. Harley Quinn, number two.
Yes.
From DC Comics is available at your local comic book shop today.
It is, yes. All right. Also from DC, I had to go with this because this is like...
Go with it, Chris.
It's like a special issue from DC. It's Detective Comics number 27.
Right on.
So we've got Detective Comics 27, and that, of course, is the... well, you know, it's like the original Detective Comics number 27 is where we saw the original Batman. So this is a kind of an homage to the new Batman. What you're saying it's last week's book?
I think so.
Well, why is it on the new week's? You put it in the new week's pile.
I'm not sure. Let's check that out.
I could be wrong. You've just completely blown my mind here. We didn't talk about it last week.
That's why you picked it. Remember,
that's why I picked it.
Remember you told me all about that?
That's right. Okay, you know what?
Man, I got to bail you out every time.
All right, you know what? You're absolutely right. This was from last week. I forgot. I had it in my pile of things to look at, and I completely forgot. Listen, great book, though. Great-looking book. Written all kinds of great artists and writers. We didn't talk about it last week like we should have.
Listen, if you look at that back cover, it's kind of Frank Miller.
It is. And it is Frank Miller.
Oh, it is Frank Miller?
Yeah.
All right, never mind that.
Frank, see the little FM here at the bottom?
I thought that was the station that they played it on.
You know what? This is a train wreck. Just go out and buy it, all right?
Hey, listen, that's one of these deluxe.
It is. What does that cost anyway? It's like a little mini graphic novel.
Yeah, it's not much. $37, I think.
Yes.
I'm not sure how much it is. I think $7.99. Oh. But it is one of those deluxe format, kind of like... the old Dark Knight Killing Joke.
It's a little bit thicker than normal. In all seriousness, how much is that book?
$7.99.
No. Well, it's a good value for your buck.
Okay.
Listen.
If somebody told me, said, Hey, pal. I got a Detective 27, and I'm only charging you $7.99. You're going to jump all over that.
I would. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. I can see, Chris. I can see a couple of years from now, the unscrupulous types going on the eBay.
And trying to sell that
for like $1,000 buy it now.
Original Batman 27, only $1,000. Yeah. Just right, Detective 27.
Of course, we allude to the fact that Batman first appeared in Detective number 27. Oh, okay.
I already said that. But thanks. Anyways, you know what?
I'm right here, Chris, if you need me. I'm over on this side.
We both look like fools right now. Okay, and let's just cap this off.
Did I mention that was available at your local comic book shop? Yeah?
Yes. Right. I want to talk very quickly, very, very quickly about Judge Dredd. They've had here's a character that has had two movies made about him, and still a very lesser-known comic book character. Nobody cares about him, yet he's been around for forever, and...
I say the Brits care about him.
Well, yeah, that is true. That is true.
I say our man Danny Champ probably he's got posters of him in his room.
He just might. He just might.
Yes.
I hope it's of the comic character, not of Stallone or.
Oh, that would be terrible. Yeah. Maybe he's got one of each. Like those Doctor Who fans have.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Posters
yeah,
of
maybe.
Every Doctor.
Well, I do like the looks of this book. This is Judge Dredd. City of Courts, Mega City 2, City of Courts. It's an interesting book. Judge Dredd, of course, is a long-standing character. Basically, he goes, in case you don't know who the character is, he goes out and he's judge, jury, and executioner for all the crime that goes on in the city. And I do like the art style on this. It's a little cartoony, but there's something about it that I actually quite enjoy. The second page, it's like a double-page spread. And wow, it's kind of amazing looking. It has a Jeff Darrow feel to it.
Yeah.
For those of you who are in the know, a lot of detail to it. A lot of little things that are kind of fun with it. I don't know if the whole art matches the style of the book, but I do like it.
All right. That is Mega City 2.
Mega City 2,
number one. at your local comic.
Yes, and Shekia has his. Shekia likes to horn in on our little new this week. Yeah,
he's the horny type.
He's decided.
Yeah. Shecky likes to do, Shecky's pick of the week.
Shecky's pick of the week. All
right. Yeah, I get one book. You get how many do you get, Chris?
As many as I want.
I know. See, yeah. There you go. Right. And yours are all lovey-dovey. Oh, I like it because it's got cartoons in it.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Shecky's pick is Batman 66, number 7.
Okay.
And, of course, this could be anything. This could be going anywhere. But so, if we're finding out where we're going,
yeah.
On the front, you're seeing that this is Face Off with False Face.
Oh, I like that.
To what I said, sir?
Okay.
Sounds like, first of all, that's the worst villain's name I could have ever heard in my life.
False Face?
False Face?
Yeah.
False
Face!
Second of all, I then looked at the new Batman, I think the original one of New 52 that's out, and it's got Two-Face on it. So I'm like, oh, it's like a face thing. So then I'm going to start reading a little bit more into this book, okay?
All right.
Because I don't know what's going on here, and I don't know who the heck False Face is.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm reading into it, and you know what? You get like a lot of that, the Adam West feel and everything. They're drawn to look a lot like them, and it's great. But then, so I'm finding out
the book is based on the Adam.
Let him finish.
I know it is, and I'm saying I really appreciated that.
Okay,
but then I started looking more at this False Face character. Are you kidding me? Is this what he does? He have a power, or does he just put on a mask when you're not looking at him, and then suddenly on the next frame, he looks like whoever he wants to look like.
Pretty much,
Is that really...
So, False Face was a character they created for the Batman TV series.
Uh-huh.
And basically, he's like a master of disguise, right? So, one minute he's somebody, and the next minute, like, one minute he's like a, I don't know, like a soda jerk kind of clerk kind of guy.
Yeah,
next minute he's a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Next minute he's a cop. Like, he changes faces all the time. All
right. So what I'm saying... So, I started reading... This can't be perceived this day, because, like I'm saying, this was Adam West, so therefore, if it was an Adam West Batman character, back then the senses are a little bit dimmed, I suppose, and it's more believable.
Okay.
I guess it's more gullible, but I can't understand how it's one of those bad framework camera angle tricks where all of a sudden you've got Robin and Batman standing over this man who's cowering and saying, oh no, what's happened? And then it closes up on Robin and it's, oh, well, we stopped you, we foiled you. And then you cut back to the villain, and he's already disguised as someone else, trying to pretend.
In our case.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what happened from Robin and Batman's perspective, looking at him, then they see him go into his bag of tricks. Hold on a second while I apply this makeup. Hold on a second while I keep putting this.
But
do you understand what I'm saying?
It is wrong. But that's why he's a supervillain, right?
He's a master of disguise, and he can do it at an instant.
He can do it in a blink.
Maybe he's like Mystique. He can change his shape.
You know what I have learned from this comic, though, is that Batman is a Democrat, I think.
Yes,
because he just socked Abe Lincoln right in the mouth. And wasn't Lincoln a Republican?
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, or vice versa.
Vice versa, yeah.
So,
did you know that Batman, the original 1966 TV series, is coming out on DVD finally?
Yes,
oh, really?
Yes, you hear
it wasn't
that.
Yet?
No.
I heard Adam West on the radio actually talking about it. He's done a couple interviews.
So here's the thing.
When
the original show aired, they had... they had the character of Batman.
Yeah.
They had Adam West as an actor. They had all these different actors who had rights to their personas.
Yes.
They also had all the different cameos.
Yeah, like Ricky Romero played the Joker.
Ricky Romero playing the Joker. Yes, Cesar Romero playing the Joker.
Cesar Romero, sorry.
But they had like Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, Bruce Lee.
And Bruce Lee and, the Green Hornet. So they had licensed characters and they had celebrities all signing on to do just that one show, but not for DVD rights.
Right.
And they had the soundtrack was another, somebody else owned the soundtrack.
So it was a ridiculously entangled legal battle.
Everybody had a piece of that show and nobody was willing to give it up. Until finally now, I guess, they somehow reached an agreement with everything. And now, and it makes sense because all of a sudden, as of a few months ago, you probably saw it in your store. Now we start seeing toys based on the show.
Yeah.
We see Batman 66 based on the show.
Yeah, it's hip again.
So now it's all of a sudden these things
You know why? Because everybody's sitting on their piece thinking, hey, I'm holding out. Everybody's aging.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening.
Yeah,
everybody's kind of takes a while because that last domino to fall.
That's
but it's finally going, man, now here I am, going to die soon, and I haven't got a penny out of this stupid thing. I better capitulate and
I better do something.
It may, just fall in with everybody else and see if I can get anything from this.
Exactly.
That's probably what it is,
yeah.
All right.
Well, anyway.
So interesting point. It's a good book to bring up today because I'm actually going to talk about the guy that does the writing for that book later on in the show.
So there we are.
Listen, this is Walt. I know you're a Krantz fan, so let's have a quick musical interlude here. And we're going to go with something. I don't know if I've ever played this before. This is The Throne Room by Krantz.
You know, I was in the throne room earlier today, and that music is the right mood.
It really is.
You know,
isn't
it's
it?
Foreboding.
Yeah.
It's, you don't know.
You don't know what's going to happen.
That really seemed like the extended throne room visit
Yeah. You know, after we pressed play, I realized we have, in fact, played that before. It's a good one.
Many a time.
Many a time.
Yes.
Listen, now, we're talking about Batman. Perfect segue, although we do have a,
whoa.
I'm getting way out of myself here. First of all, do we have a mailbag today?
Oh, you know that we do, Chris.
Okay.
You know that we do.
Do we have a sponsor for mailbag?
You know that we do, Chris.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we might. Yeah, we do. Mailbag brought to you by Stan Lee. Let's be honest. The biggest smile you have while watching a Marvel movie is seeing his cameo.
That is partially true. I agree.
That's right. Part of the Thor one was with him with the pickup truck.
That was good.
Hey, did we do it? The truck falls off. Yeah. The truck bed comes off. Yeah.
Okay, so what's Mailbag got for us there, Shek?
Mailbag, it's a doozy. Dear guys, we know who this is.
Oh, as always. Okay.
Dear guys, I am somewhat miffed that last week you had me on Mailbag and completely misquoted me. I'd really appreciate a formal apology, and if you could reread the mailbag I wrote in. If you can accomplish this, then maybe you can have my thanks.
Oh, let me guess. Let me guess who that's from. John Bitterman.
Absolutely.
John Bitterman.
You know what?
We're giving that guy way too much airtime.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I don't know what, you know, I can't even remember what he said. I'm sure it was about nothing.
Yeah,
You
know what? I wish I could say what it was.
See,
but it's,
the problem is when he writes in, we usually read it and then we throw it out.
Pretty well.
Right? So
we rag on it a bit and then throw it out.
And we're done.
Okay.
So he's upset. You know,
should he apologize?
Sure. Sorry, John.
Sorry, Bitterman.
Yeah, sorry, Bitterman.
Sorry, I threw out your. Sorry,
we don't care about what you have to say.
All right, so there
you know what, though? Listen, no, hold on. I'm here to defend Mr. Bitterman.
Oh. No. All right, fine.
You know, here's a fan of the show. And, you know, and that, just saying that.
Is this what our fan base is like?
You're right. You know, we need to appease our fans.
I feel for the guy right away. All right?
Well.
Because I'm thinking right away he's not right in the head or something like that.
No, you're feeling all right. You're feeling afraid that this guy might come in and barge in on us one day.
I don't know what I'm feeling.
I think you're right about the part of him being not right in the head.
Yeah. But the point is, the man takes his time, takes the good time and effort.
You're right.
Sit down.
And more people do need to sit
down.
Right.
And send us an email about his concerns,
right,
about what he would like to hear and what like to see. And here we are belittling him.
Okay, you know what?
I'm here to defend Mr. Bitterman. Okay. I think we should throw the man, the bitter man, a little bit more respect.
Okay. What would you like us to say?
John. We formally apologize.
We formally apologize.
For ignoring you.
For ignoring you.
And but it won't happen again.
It won't happen again. There you go. All right, listen.
What he said.
We're already spending way too much time on John Bitterman. Yep.
John Bitterman. John, thanks for the email.
Thanks for writing
in. Thanks for your effort.
Thanks for writing in. Listen, we got to get to – we were talking about Batman earlier. The TV series is finally coming out. We talked about Batman 66. We talked about Batman Detective 27. Interestingly enough, there is a lot of numbers. Mm. But are you – now, okay. There's a little known – I shouldn't say little known. There's a well-known fact about Batman within the comics industry that if you weren't sort of – an avid reader, have an interest in the history of comics, mm-hmm. you might not know about Bill Finger.
Billy Finger. Oh.
So Bill Finger, we need to educate the masses on
this.
We
should do.
Bill Finger, if you know who Batman is, and the reason why you probably like Batman is probably because of Bill Finger. Bill Finger came up with, he is the driving creative force behind Batman. Although Bob Kane is credited Although Bob Kane is credited as the sole creator of Batman, mm-hmm. it is well known that Bill Finger, in fact,
had
his finger in on it. And you know what? Without Bill Finger, we wouldn't have Robin. We wouldn't have the name of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have the Batcave, the Batmobile, the Penguin, Gotham City, the Batsignal, Commissioner Gordon, Alfred the Butler, Wayne Manor, Batarang, Catwoman, the Joker, the Riddler, Scarecrow, as well as a host of other characters not even involved in Batman.
I think Bill Finger even saved Amsterdam. He's the one that stuck his finger in the dike.
I think he is. He's the guy that put his finger in the dike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that...
I'm talking about like a dam.
Okay.
And hello.
You pick
don't
a perfect
go there,
time
Mr.
to start listening in on a conversation.
But listen.
But listen. Here's a man that never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
He's epitome, the poster child that never got a dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a shoe salesman, from what I remember reading about him.
Shoe salesman.
Who needed some, he was a friend of Bob Kane's, and he knew that
had
he
a lot
was
of
creative.
Soul.
Had a lot. Terrible, terrible joke. But listen. There's no doubt that Bob Kane did contribute something. However, Bill Finger is the guy really that wrote a lot of the scripts and shaped a lot of the way that Batman looked and all
right,
that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right.
So, Bill Finger.
What are we getting at?
Yeah, you know, it's a long
it
road.
It always is.
There is a, I don't know what you want to call it. There's a petition of sorts. There, people are asking. Bill Finger's birthday is coming up on February the 8th. Okay,
February the 8th,
and people are clamoring to have a Google Doodle devoted to Bill Finger.
Right
now, do you know what a Google Doodle is?
I didn't until before the show when I asked you, and you basically humiliated me in front of everybody.
Well,
here.
I tried not to. I was waiting. I was trying not to
but
do it on there.
Now you won't forget. Well.
So a Google Doodle is every once in a while on the homepage of Google.
Yeah,
you'll find
a stylized
Google or an illustration of some sort. Sometimes it'll celebrate someone's birthday or something.
Yeah.
So that's what they call a Google Doodle.
Right.
So they're trying to. There's sort of an online petition. They're asking people to write into Google to suggest that February the 8th should have a Google Doodle devoted to Bill Finger.
Yeah.
And it's interestingly enough, so, you know, Bill Finger never gets credit, never got credit, really,
never got a dinner.
And there's sort of this inside joke that if you don't get credit for something, you're going to get, you know, in the comic book industry, it's they say you got fingered.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because just like Bill Finger never got a dinner, you know.
I thought it was you got Kirby'd.
Yeah, yeah. No, sadly, you got fingered.
You got fingered. Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
But did you know that he also helped create Green Lantern and Wildcat and a host of other
comic characters? I'm sure he wants to forget about the Wildcat.
Probably. But you know what? A lot of well-known characters that Bill Finger helped create.
Wow.
So really, there's a guy that probably died like penniless, and Bob Kane went on to fame and fortune because he had an ironclad contract with DC at the time saying that he and only he is the one and sole responsible for Batman.
Wow. Wow. Well, listen, when is that...
February the 8th. February the 8th. So they're asking people to write in to Google asking for a Google Doodle.
Okay, well, I'm going to check on February
you
the 8th.
You should.
And hopefully I'll
hopefully
see
there's
a
one.
Google
well,
Doodle.
You should write in.
I don't know how.
Yeah, story of my life. Anyways, let's continue on here. Speaking of things digital. And Google Doodle.
Oh,
is,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Now, you're a fan. Are you
I absolutely am a fan.
You're a fan of Comixology, the digital download
I've
comics.
I've never downloaded anything in my life. That okay. I knew of.
Well, I have a feeling you download a lot.
Yeah. The only thing I've ever downloaded
is
I don't even know what it's called, but yeah.
James Brown's concerts.
Yeah. But the point is I don't download music, yes,
music,
of course,
yeah.
or video
to
watch.
Oh, well, there you go.
Musical clips. But comic books, no, you got to hold them in your hand,
okay,
Chris. Come on.
Okay. I'm just saying that you have downloaded stuff, and you're relatively computer savvy.
Sure.
Well, Comixology is the, you know, you've heard of them, the digital downloading source for comics.
Yep.
They recently produced a what you call it, like a little map of sorts.
A map,
a map of the world as to who uses Comixology and who's downloading comics.
Oh,
so I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's cool.
So
like, there's a, let's just use a dumb number. There's like a million downloads.
Yeah,
and in the world, there's a million downloads.
Right,
and this percentage of them comes from this area of the world, and is that what they're doing?
Yeah, basically, okay. They didn't actually say how many downloads there were.
Okay, but I'm just...
But, for example, 51% of Comixology users are outside of the U.S.
Oh.
So, and that kind of, you know, that may make sense, because it might be hard for people outside of North America to get copies, actual copies of comics, yet they want to read them, right?
Yeah, because I guarantee you, I won't guarantee you because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay,
but,
guarantee me.
I'll guarantee you that not 51% of comics sold are outside the U.S.
I agree with that.
Right, because of the distribution problem, like you say, right? You have, you know, England, Canada, Australia, you know, some in France, and, you know, some in Tel Aviv, as we know from comics and vegetables and
places
like that.
Yep, yep.
But there isn't that much outside of the USA.
Not really, right? No. Interestingly enough, there are 15 users of downloading of actual Comixology members, I guess you want to call it, from Cuba.
Ayo!
So,
Buenos dias,
don't,
amigos.
Don't tell Castro.
No.
What are you talking about? Probably is Castro.
He may be one of them.
It
Raul.
Could be. Yeah, you never know. And zero users from North Korea.
That's wrong. Well, I think Rodman, when he's there, though.
He has to get his fix, right?
Yeah,
his
downloads. Yeah. It's Harley Quinn. Yeah.
It's Harley Quinn, that's right. here's our next topic. I know it's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
Because I know you are a fan of the 70s.
The 70s, yes.
And you're a fan of, I would call it, B-movies.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you ever see
Bad Taste, is what you're saying.
Did you ever see Barbarella?
Of course.
So Barbarella.
That might even be late 60s, no?
I said 70s, but it could be late 60s. I wasn't too sure. But
Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda, right?
Yeah.
Right, Jane Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
So Jane Fonda, who was in the original Barbarella movie, I've actually got two topics. So this is all kind of like two topics and all divided into one.
Are we going to get to one of them
soon? Apparently, there's going to be a new TV series based on Barbarella.
Wow.
Yeah, so that psychedelic 60s and 70s.
Yeah, that was like, it'd drop acid to understand that.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. So hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. The whole thing, what made Barbarella work,
that
at that time, Jane Fonda was actually like quite the babe.
Quite sex symbol.
Yeah. And it was all scantily clad stuff. It was all sex.
Sexual innuendo.
It was all soft porn.
Yeah,
is that what they're doing right now?
It doesn't actually say. I am sure that's probably what it will be, because really with the wake of a lot of other TV series out there, they're really pushing the boundaries of what's acceptable and what's available.
Yeah.
You look at shows like Game of Thrones, and there's a lot of sex in that. A lot of the other shows have sex and violence in it, so I can't imagine Barbarella would stray from the original
idea. I always find it funny, especially in the U.S. of A., that they're like Showcase and AMC and all those HBO. They had no problem in the last 20 years pushing the absolute boundary for just asininely stupid gore and violence and crime.
Yeah.
But they were afraid to show a nipple, a boob, a butt, or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's
that's the way it is in North America.
That taboo or that boundary seems to be harder to cross in the U.S. than the, you know, I'll decapitate the guy for fun.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is it's the exact opposite in Europe.
Yeah.
In Europe, you can show nudity all you like, but you show a little bit of violence, and it's like, that's completely taboo, right? Listen, so now, here's the thing. This Barbarella TV series is going to be set for the new, the relatively new Amazon streaming network. So Amazon is now trying to delve into the Netflix area of trying to develop new shows and have an actual online streaming content.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're actually going to try to have this new show.
Isn't Google doing that too, or am I wrong? Somebody was doing that.
There was a second group that was trying to take on Netflix.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Who is Hulu. Oh, Hulu? Right, Hulu.
Hulu, okay.
Yeah, Hulu. H-U-L-U, I think it's called. Yeah, Hulu, that's right. So Hulu, and now Amazon's trying to get in on it as well, on the idea. But they're up until now, they're basically, you download a show, like you pay for it kind of thing. But now it looks like they're going to try to do like a brand new series all onto their own with this new Barbarella TV series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, listen, I just hope there's lots and lots of skin.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. That's the only way it's going to save it, probably.
Well, that's what sold the Warren magazines.
Yes, you're right.
And that's what made the Vampirella.
Vampirella, whatever. Yeah,
but it's the sex that did it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, listen. We should probably get back to comics, because we haven't really talked about comics.
No, what for?
I know.
Talking about sex, comics, and rock and roll. Right?
Now,
that's all you need.
Now, you're a fan of the old Gold Key comics.
Oh,
right?
I'm a fan of everything.
I know you
apparently.
Are. Apparently. Well, I'm just saying you are, right?
Yeah. I am.
Solar, Man of the Atom.
Oh, I love that comic.
Right?
You
with the old
me?
Painted cover.
Yeah.
It's being brought back.
Remember, Grant Morrow used to do a lot of those covers. I love those covers.
Yeah, great covers. Mm-hmm. So it's coming back through Dynamite Entertainment, and it's being written by Frank Barbieri and illustrated by Joe Bennett.
Johanna. Hannah and Barbieri.
The guys who did the Flintstones. Right. It's a good thing I had to describe that to you. Anyway,
better than Hannah Montana.
Listen, this is being illustrated by Joe Bennett, who is of Iron Man fame as well. This is the third Gold Key title being relaunched from Dynamite, with Turok Dinosaur Hunter and Magnus Robot Fighter being the first two.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're trying to go the way of the old Valiant comics. Mm-hmm. I just hope they don't make the same mistakes, right? Because, you know, they were good for a while, and then they kind of went.
I don't know, Chris. I don't know. There's a thing.
What's the thing?
And here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Even Marvel and DC, I talk about this a lot when I blog on Comic Book Daily, and about comic book values.
Okay.
Right? And Marvel and I can't say DC. Can you say DC?
DC.
DC, thank you. Marvel and the other guys.
Yeah.
Even they're not immune to this.
No, that's true.
When new titles are launched and it's an old defunct character,
right?
They don't succeed.
No,
even
you're
for
right.
DC and Marvel. And there is this thing about you need to capture the imagination of the buying public, right?
Yes.
And there are certain characters that just could not make the jump from generation to generation. So it was resonant with one generation, and then it just died off for some reason.
Right, yeah.
And you cannot bring them back. Because it was so popular at the time, there's a misconceived perception that, you know, 30 years later, let's bring them back, right? And that's what they did with Solar, and that's what they did with Turok. But it just seems that those guys aren't sticking every time they bring them back.
No, they aren't. Right? There seems to be some sort of lost generation that they can't seem to make it stick.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? Something dear to your and my heart. Like, where are the Flintstones?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
Like, they were maybe one or two generations, and they just kind of Simpsons killed them.
Simpsons killed and Family Guy.
I can't get my kids to watch. I mean, they kind of like the Flintstones. They think it's cool, but everybody.
And they tried the live action film and everything. I think because, like, for me, I was young when that came out, and I think the Hanna-Barbera, like Scooby-Doo, Flintstones.
But I'm saying the whole group of them
did catch on until I was, like, that of age, and then the movie came out, and then it really, really fizzled, because then the new wave of what the more modernized cartoon
was, they
took over.
But you see, with Scooby, they can make new versions of it, and the kids will watch it.
Yes, and they have,
they can't
good.
Make new versions of Bugs Bunny, because they're terrible, no kids will watch it.
I'm just saying, all of them had a chance at a dinner when I was still a kid. Right. But then at some point when I became like that 8 or 10, you know, so mid-90s or whatever, right around that film with John Goodman. And like right at that point, something turned and changed, and then they all dropped off.
Seth MacFarlane, who's the Family Guy guy, right?
Yeah.
He was actually asked to try to revamp the Flintstones to make it a little bit more modern. And we haven't seen it yet, so I'm sure it's probably like dead in the water because how do you do it, right?
It's like these things from Gold Key.
Dynamite.
They're going to something that just isn't sticking, and I don't know. I don't know if it's the right thing to do. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know what? I think maybe the characters are just too old, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah, but Batman's older, Chris.
Yeah, you're right.
Batman's older, and he's the most popular character in the world right now. Batman, there's nobody better than Batman right now.
You're right.
Wolverine, Spider-Man, nobody touches Batman right now.
Yeah.
And Batman's from 1939. This guy's from, Solar's from 62.
Yeah.
But it's just, it didn't stick.
And I would honestly, if I had to say, you know, from a young adolescent, young adult's sort of point of view, a character like Turok, like Dinosaur Hunter, that would hold some sort of, if you can capture it properly, and if, I mean, because right there, you've got dinosaurs, you know, like old, whatever.
Yeah.
That whole idea, that concept has been done and conveyed well.
Yeah.
And I think young adults would like it as long as it's, you know, like, I don't want to say, you know, too violent or anything, but like, as long as it's edgy enough and something, and you feel he's really like a warrior, you know what I mean?
Do you think that Dr. Solar, Man of the Atom, do you think the concept is too confusing? Like, the Man of the Atom, like, who cares? Like, we're no longer in that nuclear
age
anymore.
Yeah, I think that title, I think to name that your book, that's dead
but
in the water
Doc
right
Solar,
there.
If you remove Man of the Atom, Doc Solar, I mean, the sun is still... You know what? I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to stick my neck on the line.
Okay.
The sun is pretty important for
it's
most
pretty
of
hot
our...
these days.
Yeah, and it's pretty hot. But it's pretty important, top of most people's list
important
things. So, I mean, if you can't tap into the sun in terms of superhero, then you got a problem.
But here's the problem.
Solar is tapping into that whole atom, sun, nuclear, all that crap.
Yes.
So you should be able to make it work.
I agree with what you're saying. However, Captain Planet also didn't work out very well.
What?
Yeah. Right?
Nor did Captain Carrot.
Nor did Captain Carrot, the Zoo Crew. Listen.
Captain Planet did very well, actually.
For how long?
For quite some time.
Nah.
You know what? My age generation grew up with it.
Okay.
And even young Buck is shaking, and he's got to be at least 18 years younger than me.
Okay.
All right? I'm telling you right now.
Doesn't have any lasting
That
appeal.
Is one of those. No, it does. It has like a lasting
You guys are
following.
Crazy.
They're still doing videos of like Sorry. Funny or Die for like Don Cheadle.
Funny
like
or Die, exactly. Nobody,
right, but
who cares?
Still enough people care
the
about
essence
it to
of
laugh
it,
at
it, I think.
To laugh at
exactly.
It.
I do think that there is a laugh at it quality. Yeah. But it's made its way through contemporary genres all the way through.
That's like saying all this has made its way through, too. It doesn't mean it's good.
No press is bad press, Chris.
Is it? Listen, guys, there's a lot of businesses open up every day, and they close. Right. So what I'm saying, no, my point is very deep.
You mean their store hours? Like they open and,
and then
they open up
dark,
every day and then they close
dark,
every day.
And then they close.
Yeah.
My point is there are a lot of publishers trying these old properties, and because they're coming out, you go, wow, you know, Captain Atom, or whatever the hell his name is, Dr. Solar. Yeah. But, you know, 2 years from now, where are they, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
well,
the thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Your basement, Walt.
Yeah, in bargain bins.
I hope it does well. I've just seen this happen before. And this don't get me wrong, this happens even with Marvel and DC characters.
Chris, it happens all the time.
It happens all
the time. This crazy love of mine.
Listen. We're spending far too long on Dr. Solar. Let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we'll get back to talking about more industry news.
All right.
Yeah, Breaker 1-9, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pig Pen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Cause we got a little convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a little convoy, ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy, ain't nothing gonna get no right. We gonna roll this talking convoy across the USA.
You want to back off them hogs? 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a hunting bear.
Cause we got a great big convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a great big convoy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy. Ain't nothing gonna get in our way. We gonna roll this talking convoy across the USA. Convoy.
You wanna give me a 10-9 on that, Big Ben?
Breaker, Chris. Good buddy, come on.
Coming right back at you there, Rubber Duck.
All right, come on.
Was that an excerpt from Smokey and the Bandit?
No.
That's Convoy.
Burt Convy was in that movie, man.
Oh,
that
okay.
guy was awesome.
Oh.
That was by...
And that was, you know, that's probably as comic-y as a song as you can get.
I mean, you know... All we need to do is talk about US 1, the trucking comic book.
Right on.
Intergalactic Trucker.
Right on. All right, listen, keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking. All right,
keep
listen.
On trucking.
Okay.
Now, has there ever been a cooler, I don't even know if Robert Crumb did that one, but the iconic kind of head shop art where the keep on
foot?
Trucking,
yeah.
where the guy's stepping forward, yeah, the giant foot.
That was Robert Crumb, wasn't it?
I think it was Crumb, or it was Crumb-ish if it wasn't Crumb.
I think it was Crumb.
But that's cool.
Or all Crummy.
Right. All right, good buddy.
Hmm. All right, listen, Shecky, we got any sponsors going on?
Yep, as we delve into the second half of industry news, brought to you by Tickle Me Juggernaut. The lovable toy that you can make sounds like fingernails on a chalkboard with.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I think that was one of the big exclusive through Big B Comics last Christmas.
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was they hit with lineups Christmas.
Yeah,
Christmas.
I know. Yeah. I know. Listen. All right. Anything else there, Shecky?
That was it.
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Chris?
I thought you had
How are
something you? Else. See, it looked like you were going to say something. Okay, listen. We got Flash Gordon. So we just finished talking about Solar... Man of the Atom, Dr. Solar, Man of the Atom, and talking about how there's this old character that they're trying to bring back. Looks like...
Bring her back, come on.
Looks like Dynamite, again, is going to launch a new Flash Gordon series written by Jeff Parker, the guy that did the Batman 66 comic. And it's going to be drawn by Evan Doc Shanner. Doc Shanner. Here's what I don't understand. They're trying to bring back Flash Gordon with Dale Arden and Dr. Hans Zarkov and Ming-Na Merciless, and they're going to be on the planet Mongo and all that kind of stuff. Again, is this too little, too late?
Chris, we just dragged this thing through the mud. I mean, this is Dynamite. Like, I would love to sit in on one of these Dynamite meetings.
Well, it seems like...
Guys! I got this great idea.
Yeah.
I read a Swedish magazine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then what happened?
And they said, you know what's coming back?
What's that?
All these dead, stupid properties that nobody else wants. I think we should scoop them all up.
Like,
and print comic books out of them.
Well,
let's borrow a lot of money to do it.
Like, sir, honestly, when's Dick Tracy coming out from Dynamite? When are they going to have like all these nobody cares about characters? Let's have a little Orphan Annie comic.
Yeah,
you know, like
little Oral Annie would work. But little Orphan
probably
Annie
would work.
Yeah.
Probably would work.
Woodwork.
Out of
the woodwork.
Speaking of out of the woodwork.
Yeah, Woody.
So
I have something really outside to say.
So,
Chris, get your mind out of the
gutter.
Shop floor.
Here's what I just don't understand: why all these characters are supposedly making a comeback.
Like what?
Like what? I got nothing. Nothing. Nothing to work with here.
Okay, I gotta say my bit now.
All right, say your bit.
No, what's the good Dark Horse? Who the hell is
Dynamite?
Dynamite, yeah. They're like barking up the wrong wood. Okay? They are. They picked the wrong Woody here.
They really did.
And just kind of, guys, why don't you come up with something good on your own? Like,
I agree.
But and they can't afford the good stuff.
No.
They can't afford the Star Wars stuff.
No.
And the Star Trek
stuff. That's done.
Yeah.
Well, Star Trek, I mean, they do.
You know what?
That's IDW.
Yeah, they might go after Star Jammers. Because they're going after all these other lame ass things.
That is true.
Yeah, so
that is true.
I don't know. You know what? Yeah, too little, too late.
I agree. Completely agree. I just can't see it happening. I do like Jeff Parker. His writing, I think, is great. I just don't know if he's going to be. Here's the thing. Jeff Parker's quoted as saying, "We're bringing back Flash for a new audience. It's over the planet, high action and adventure, where Flash's spirit and optimism are as powerful as anything the forces of Ming the Merciless can dish out." Mm. We also have some of my favorite artists contributing covers. Make no mistake, this book is going to absolutely kill.
No, it won't.
How do we know? How
no,
do we know
won't. No, like, won't. And here's the thing.
Who cares?
Here's the issue. All the money today.
Yeah.
Is in properties.
Yes, I agree.
Okay,
yeah.
It's properties. So Dynamite's trying to hit a property that's going to work.
You know,
you know, just because it's an old property doesn't mean it's going to be a new successful property.
Yeah, and you know,
problem.
You know who's going to make money on this?
Oh.
The licensee.
Yeah,
the guy who's selling the license to Dynamite. That's who's making money on this.
I agree.
Now, did you have something to say, Shaggy? Before we cut,
we cut you off
about 5 minutes ago.
Eight.
I forget what I was going to say, but anything.
All
right. You know what I like about Shaggy? He's not bitter about it.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all.
Never got a dinner.
No.
Listen. You ever heard of that guy Stan Lee?
Stanley?
Stanley who? Stanley. You ever heard of Stanley?
Of course
Stan
I have.
Stan Lee.
Yes.
Did you know that he is on the Forbes' list of the 10 most influential celebrities?
No.
So he is on the same list as celebrities such as Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, Oprah Winfrey, Dr. Oz. I can't believe he's on the list, but Ron Howard and Rush Limbaugh.
Dr.
And
Oz. How can he not be on
Dan
the list?
He's
like the Lee. Wizard.
What about Joey Finger?
Bill Finger is not on the list because he never got a dinner.
Jimmy Fingers.
Still not getting dinners.
So the magazine ranks him at number nine and gives him an influential rating of 37%. I don't know what that means.
Listen, can I say my bit right now?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, I have an opinion.
Say your bit.
I have an opinion.
Okay.
Okay. So the guys at
Forbes.
Plains?
Forbes.
Yeah. The guys at Forbes obviously don't know what the hell they're talking about. No, seriously.
Okay.
The guys at Forbes think that Stan Lee still owns Marvel, is my problem.
Right.
The guys at Forbes don't understand that Stan Lee is a legend.
Yes.
But Stan Lee has no or very little say.
Right.
Very little sway.
I don't think that's what matters, though. It's the fact that
you
can't.
If you
got
to be influential, you got to be able to pull some strings.
No,
but
he's
can't
don't.
Pull
it's
any
his
right
characters
now.
That are being used. They're saying. Okay,
no,
his influence without
his
direct influence.
He doesn't own those
his
characters.
His indirect
anymore.
Influence. The fact that he created characters.
Well, why don't we say, I don't know. Shakespeare.
You know what?
No. Gotta be alive, I guess.
Shakespeare.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm guessing they're saying living celebrities.
Fair enough.
No, hold on. In this mindset, Tom Finger there.
Jimmy Fingers.
Yeah, you're saying that
Bill Finger.
That he doesn't deserve any credit for being influential because he technically isn't on the ownership of Batman then.
First of all, Stan is a contentious figure in the comic book world, because a lot of comic book fans feel that Stan Lee stole the limelight and is hogging it from his co-creators, some of which comic book fans say did most of the work, a la Kirby.
And Steve Ditko.
A la Ditko. Yeah. Okay.
It's true. It's true.
So I'm saying Stan is a contentious figure. Because Stan, yeah, we all love Stan. I mean, I love Stan. We all love Stan.
I love Stan.
We all love Stan. Stan.
Yeah. Stan. Does your wife know about that?
Yeah. Stan, she loves Stan more than I do.
Stan is the man. Yeah. And the point though is I don't know. I don't know about him being...
Well, you know what? But here, we'll attach now, him to creating all these people. I think that's just all that matters to the public.
Well, but okay, yeah, you're both right and you're both wrong.
We are?
Yeah. Wow. And here's the thing. Stan Lee, whether or not he retains ownership of the characters, I agree with Shecky, he's still influential because he is thought of the godfather of Marvel Comics.
The godfather.
He is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he is
thought of as the godfather of Marvel Comics. He still is involved in the producing of movies. Whenever you watch one of those movies, it's always executive producer Stan Lee, right? So he's still involved heavily in those
movies. Want me to tell you what that's worth?
I'm going to
sometimes in entertainment, Chris?
I'm sure it's nothing, but seeing the name...
Worth less than a box of donuts,
but
okay?
He's still... But, you know, but hold on.
Hold on.
He still is paying for the movie... Like that's what executive producing does. Helps to finance it.
We're not talking about some off Broadway.
I don't want to get into technical things, but anything that says producer to it, whether you're an executive or a producer or an assistant producer,
yeah,
those credits are like tic tacs. If you feel like, hey, buddy, you know, you did me a favor. Here's a tic-tac.
I'm sure in Hollywood they're probably not given out as freely as
you know.
They,
what I think in Stan's could. Case, in Stan's case, I think it's a lot of an honorary sort of thing. It's like Stan,
and it helps
Stan on the set.
I'm sure he's got his fingers
in the pot. If you dislike what's going on, you know, give us your opinion, whatever. We're going to give you an exec credit saying that you were here, you oversaw the script, and I'm sure that's all it was.
I'm sure he's putting some money towards these things to get back more money.
Guys, I think we need Wonder Woman on this.
I'm sure he's making money off this.
You know
stuff.
What? No one will really know until I get and meet Stan Lee.
Until you meet Stan Lee and get to hobnob.
He'll probably be 130 by the time I meet him, but
yeah,
I'll
sure
get
will.
There.
He'll still alive and kicking.
He'll outlive us all.
Yeah.
But, you know, at any rate, I think he does have some influence because of the strong influence of the Marvel movies coming out in Hollywood today.
That's true.
Now, Walt, you and I have said for many years that all the best ideas are coming from comics. And I think that's still true today.
No.
And I don't think that's going to stop anytime
soon. But you know
soon.
What? But on the face of it, mm-hmm. on the side face or in the back face of that,
back face,
a lot of bad ideas are coming from comics too, a la Dynamite Publishing.
I meant going from comics to movies, though. But going from comics to movies.
Oh,
right?
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of good.
Lone Ranger.
Okay, yeah.
All right, well, anyway.
All right.
You know.
Shecky's got something to say here.
No. This is just, you know, we're wrapping this up. Are you guys done?
Are we wrapping it?
Are you done ragging on Stan? Okay, because we got 2 minutes left, and I had a really quick last bit that is very much based on your opinions.
Go ahead.
Which I don't like, but I'll accept for now. So Stan Lee made the big Forbes list, okay?
Yes.
The top 10 influential celebrities.
Yes.
So keeping in that, who do each of you think would comprise a top 3 list? I'm going to, just so that you don't ramble on for hours, Walt. Top 3 list of most influential superheroes that aren't Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, and Wolverine.
Mm. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. I took away the easy ones.
They're not Batman, Superman,
and Spider-Man. And Avengers and groups don't count.
Oh, you bastard.
You got to pick individuals that actually contributed... Lots.
Oh, I got it.
The
reading.
Okay, so you would say Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Okay, Iron Man's
sure.
one. Yeah. Scooby Doo and Archie.
Ooh, Archie's a good one.
Yeah, Archie.
Influential characters in comics or in movies, or doesn't matter.
They have to be characters in comics, and then they can trade over to movies.
Hulk,
as well.
Incredible Hulk. For sure.
Yeah, and Archie. And Scooby.
And Scooby. And Iron Man.
You each have to make 3 lists.
Oh, go ahead. No, okay, who are your 3?
I will pick Archie Oogly. Archie Andrews.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo B. And Deadpool.
Oh, that's
a
very
good
call.
You went with a lot of classic stuff that isn't even really superhero related, and then Deadpool.
Yeah, modernized. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. You know what? I'm going to say And though it's not probably not very topical, I'm going to say Richie Rich back in the day was mm-hmm. influential. Maybe not anymore, but Richie Rich was very influential. Uh-huh. Are you talking about topical ones? It has to be like today.
Talking about your idea of the most influential
of all time
characters in comic books.
Okay.
That scratch, are not
okay,
the
scratch,
four I list.
Scratch Richie Rich then. Yeah. I'm going to say Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
I said no groups.
Leonardo.
Leonardo.
Okay, well, fine. You know what? I just didn't mean the big ones that were many different heroes.
TMNT.
Really?
Yeah.
See, okay, see, now here's one thing. We're not going to spitball this too long. No one picked a female character of any kind.
Yeah,
where
that's
was,
wrong.
Like, the big female?
Wonder
like
Woman.
The. There you go, right?
Hey, anyway, listen.
It was a trick question.
No.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. This was just about...
To us, male chauvinist pigs.
I think the show's over.
This is, yeah.
All right. Hey, check us out at a couple of spots. I'm not sure where. You know the drill right now. And
GetThePointRadio.com, iTunes, and ComicBookDaily.com.
Thanks, Chris. And have a great week. Support your local comic book shop, please.
Thank you for listening to our wonderful show, and please tune in next week. Talk to you later.